Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And thank you, Darren and team, for those songs that stir our hearts to look at our Lord Jesus today. And as we continue our series of lives well lived from the past, there's one obvious one that we seem to focus on every day of our lives. It's the life that was well lived in the person of Jesus Christ. And these songs today have reminded us about that indeed. We're going to be continuing our series today on a man who's famous for his name, and he's coming up in pieces right now, but he'll be here all by himself pretty soon. A life well lived for God, the story of Gideon. When we think of Gideon, we think of the Gideon Bible Society, which is now going to be having is going to have a new name in Canada, and it's ShareWord Global, and it's something that has been in every hotel room, it seems, for decades. A little less common today. I was just in a hotel recently, and there was no Bible in it, which surprised me. But the Word of God is able to reach souls wherever people travel, and has done that faithfully through the Gideon Ministries. And this morning, if you look at the logo of Gideon's International, traditionally it was a jar with a flame coming out of it. And it's because when God's Word is unleashed in the darkness of people's hearts, the light shines bright, and that's the light of Jesus Christ that is proclaimed. And this morning we sang those words, "Today I choose to follow you. Today I choose to give my yes to you." And that's really the story of Gideon. There was a day when Gideon decided he chose to obey the Lord and follow him, even in the most unbelievable circumstances, and he said yes, yes, yes to the Lord. We're going to be looking at some verses from chapters 6 through 8 of the book of Judges this morning as we continue our study. And Gideon was a judge, not the traditional judge that we think of, you know, here comes the judge, but he was a leader appointed for a time when the nation of Israel was needing godly leadership. And he is described in the book of Judges in this way, in verse 12 of chapter 6, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor.'" And valor is strength of mind or spirit that enables a person to encounter danger with firmness. We think of, you know, soldiers that are men of valor, and we think of Gideon as truly a soldier, a man of valor. And God saw in Gideon a man with potential, a man that when he said yes to God, God said, "I'm going to use you." And God told him that he would be with him. The Lord is with you. Sometimes you get these songs in the night. Well, sometimes I get messages in the night, and last night was no exception. And I was thinking about that phrase, "The Lord is with you." And you know, when Abraham left his hometown, a country that was filled with idolatry, God showed him a way to go, a place to go, to become the man for God, to bring in a whole new nation of people that would bow their knees to the Lord God, the creator of the universe, and the one who would reveal himself in a personal way. We see that in the life of Moses. Moses comes to the burning bush, and the angel of the Lord says, "The ground that you are walking on is holy ground. Take off your sandals." And Moses had all kinds of objections to what God wanted to do. And the Lord said, "Listen, I'll be with you. I'll be with you." Joshua, likewise, after Moses had died, was told by the Lord, "Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. I'll be with you when you take possession of the land that I promised through the promises I made to Abraham." And so we see in Gideon this same promise, the presence of God. God started this process even before anyone could see potential in Gideon. He saw what nobody else saw. He saw Gideon's heart. And he saw faith that needed to be unfolded, faith that needed to be developed, that needed encouragement, that needed to be focused heavenward in spite of the obstacles that were around and the conditions of the country that he was living in. The key is to understand the Lord is with you. If God is with us, who can be against us? This helps us to launch out for the Lord today, putting our confidence in God as we take steps of faith to serve him in Sault Ste. Marie. And that's why people have left their home and gone to faraway places, because they knew the Lord was with them to shine that light in the darkness. Warren Wiersbe said, true faith is confident obedience to God's word in spite of circumstances and consequences. Gideon, the judge. There were 13 judges. They ruled, from according to Acts chapter 13, for 450 years. Samuel was the final judge, and he was a prophet, and led the people before there was ever a king anointed or appointed by God. Some are covered in detail, and some, like Gideon, are covered in several chapters. Samson, likewise, was covered in several chapters. He was covered a little while back. And Gideon's impossible task and the turning points in his life led him to increase in his faith in the Lord. Today, our faith is based on what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. The turning point is to receive him as our Lord and Savior and ask the Holy Spirit to direct us in our journey for God as we serve him. We learn that we often can't do things, but with the Lord, we can, and so we should let him use us with this purpose in mind for his glory, for his glory. We're going to look at some selected passages. This one, I think, stands out to me as one of the other key verses in the book of Judges. In those days, there was no king in Israel because they had judges, and look what they were doing. They were doing their own thing. Everyone did what was right in his or her own eyes. They were making choices. Doing things that are right in your eyes means that it's your way, your life, no God included. No thank you, don't need you, too busy, been there, done that. And you never make a mistake twice, because the second time you make it, it's a choice. And the nation of Israel was making choices that were wrong choices, blatantly doing what was right in their own eyes. And so we have great lessons of faith here in this book of Judges in the life of Gideon. He was weak in faith and fearful. I think that pretty much sums up most of us in this room. We can be weak in faith sometimes, and we can be fearful, but we have a God who can strengthen our faith and give us courage to move forward for him. God worked with Gideon as he works with us to mature his faith. I don't have the same faith I had umpteen years ago when I became a Christian, but it's the same saving faith that I have. I have a greater confidence in the God that I trusted as my Savior. Evidence for faith is seen in action. This is the story of Hebrews chapter 11, where we get many of these names and characters in the hall of faith. Weakness was made strong by the Lord through faithful obedience to him. Victory came from the enemy in very challenging, difficult situations. And then sometimes, you know, after the battle is over, after the challenges are sort of past, we have challenges of our faith. And we'll look at all of these to some extent this morning. Chapter 6 and verse 1, a sad commentary on a nation that had seen the redemption of God. God delivered them out of the land of Egypt, gave them a land as they crossed into the Jordan River, conquering enemy after enemy, but they didn't conquer the enemy that was going to defeat them over and over again, the enemy that was within. And that's what happened. They did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. My grandmother would say, palate, you know what that is. Get a licking. Makes you pay attention, doesn't it? Well, the Lord loved them and promised them so many blessings, but when they kept disobeying, the Lord corrected them at the hands of unbelievers. At the hands of unbelievers. These were the people of Midian, and the people of Israel lived in dens and caves and strongholds in the mountains as a result. They took their harvest from the nation of Israel and destroyed their harvest. And we see in verse 10, the Lord sent a prophet to them. Anybody listening? Here's God speaking through a prophet, delivering a message. I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of these Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. Problem number one, disobedience. What was that? That was sin. That was sin. The prophet that he sent said, you have not obeyed my voice. What was their sin? They became like their neighbors. You couldn't tell them apart. The grass was greener, so they all kind of just moved over this way. And said, I think we'll live like that now. And God wants a holy people, a separate people, a special people, a unique people that reflect what he is like, not what their neighbors are like. We're supposed to be the blessing. Abraham was to be the blessing to the whole world forever and ever through his seed, through the Lord Jesus Christ that would be born of his lineage. And that is true today. But they have not obeyed my voice, he said. And then another visitor came. And this one's really special. Now the, you know, when you don't, you know, when John the Baptist came, they didn't get the message right away. They kind of got the point, but they didn't like what he said, so they cut off his head. And when the Lord Jesus came to speak, he said, well, you cut my head off. What do you want me to say? Because that's exactly what happened in the past. His actions spoke louder than his words, and his words spoke very loud too. But the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which is where Gideon was from. And this was property that belonged to Joash, his father, the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. These were desperate times. You see, when we go down the wrong road, we can get into a mess. And the whole nation was in a gigantic mess. And the angel of the Lord came and sat with Gideon. Isn't that amazing? Talk about a timely visit. Amazing. And the angel of the Lord, we'll spend a little bit of time looking at that, appeared to him and said, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go. Okay, have you got it? I'm with you. Now, go. And said, where do you want me to go? Go to where I tell you to go, Gideon. That's what the key is here. Go, and he says, in this might of yours. What was Gideon's strength? It was his God. And his faith in God was going to unlock that power, that might. Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent you? Can you imagine anything more reassuring than the angel of the Lord coming and saying, go, I'm with you. I'm going to send you. What are you waiting for? Well, that's what we're going to find out this morning. Gideon had a few things to say about this. Because Gideon said, alas, O Lord God. He said, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. He figured out who it was. However, being Gideon, he was challenged a bit by this. And he was in the presence of God, and his mind was racing, you know, not how do I get out of this mess, because he was in a mess. He was in a wine press threshing wheat because he was afraid of them taking his crops and taking food away from the family table. It was a desperate situation, and God reached out at exactly the right time when Gideon and the nation needed him most. 7 years was enough time. God said, I think they got the point. That there's a reason. They didn't ask God, why are you doing this? And Gideon was going to help them to understand that as a, not only a judge, but as a prophet. And we're going to see that God provides what we need when we put our faith in him. The angel of the Lord is a Christophany, an appearing of Jesus Christ before his actual first coming to earth in his birth. John Wolford, who's a theologian, said there's not a single valid reason to deny that the angel of Jehovah is the second person of the Trinity, every known fact pointing to his identification as the Christ of the New Testament. This is not the first time the Lord Jesus appeared. You think these were like previews of, you know, you go to a movie, previews of coming attractions. This was a preview of what was coming. God appeared to some of the patriarchs in the past. He now was appearing to Gideon. He had appeared to Hagar, and she said it was the God who sees. Abraham on Mount Moriah, just as he was about to put that knife into Isaac. His faith was so great, he believed that if I kill my son, God is going to raise him from the dead because God keeps his promises. And through my seed, all the nations of the world will be blessed. The angel of the Lord appeared to Abraham. Jacob struggled with the angel of the Lord all night. Again, Moses at the burning bush. And he was in the pillar of cloud as the nation of Israel left Egypt and was going towards the wilderness to the Red Sea and beyond. Gideon thought he was going to die and seeing the face of God. Why did he appear this way? Well, I think he was showing us through his word that he was going to come. You know, the Redeemer shall come to Zion. And this was just a glimpse of what he was going to do when he came. And it wasn't just going to be physical battles. He was going to face, when he came, he was going to face the great spiritual battle of sin and settle the question of sin once and for all by taking our sin upon himself on the cross and defeat the enemy of sin, death, and hell and the devil all in one swoop, which he did on the cross that day 2,000 years ago. He came to show us the personal plan of God. He wanted to show us what his father was like. He said, you know, when you've seen me, you've seen my Father. But he also wanted to show us what real love was like. Real love goes all the way. And that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to go not halfway for the Lord, but to go all the way for the Lord. My father-in-law used to say, don't be so stingy. Come on, you can do more. And that's true. Gideon was going to be learning how to put faith into action. So he said to him, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh. These are the excuses like Moses was using too. You know, this is classic. I can't do this. God didn't tell me to do it. He said, I'm going to do it through you. You're going to step up, and I'm going to keep moving you in this direction. He said, I'm the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you. Notice the promise. And you will defeat the enemy Midianites as one man. How is one man going to defeat a nation? Well, that's what he did. Gideon, I'm promising you I'm going to be with you. So Gideon said, well, I need a little proof. So he said, okay, here's what I want you to do. Go get some bread and meat and broth, and you bring them out here and put them on a rock. Pour out the broth on the rock, okay? Now watch. And he touched the rock with his staff. Poof, fire came out of the rock. Consumed that food that was on the rock. Now if you were Gideon, would you say, I'm convinced. Right, let's go. Gideon didn't do that. He said, interesting. Okay. He said, I know God commissioned me. God visited me. He said, what's next? Well, as we read on, we have these verses in chapter 6 and verse 23 and 25. Then the Lord said to him, peace be with you. Do not fear. You shall not die. This is the angel of the Lord speaking. Now, it came to pass the same night that the Lord said to him, take your father's young bull, the second bull of 7 years old, very specific directions here, and tear down the altar of Baal that your father has and cut down the wooden image that is beside it. Now, this is a monumental challenge. You see, his family had the backyard altar and the idol set up, worshiping an idol. Really, worshiping a demonic god, small g. And this is a serious problem. He says, because when I go and do this, I'm going to get in big trouble. But he obeyed God. And after he took down the idol and the altar, the people were really upset with him. He said, look what he did. And they were talking to his dad. And his dad said, he took down the idol. Let the idol defend himself. You don't have to do anything. If he's God, he'll take care of it. Of course, then nothing happened. And they changed his name to Jerubbaal. And it means, let Baal plead for himself. In other words, if he's such a good God, let him zap me right now. Because he's not the true God. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew the trumpet. And the people, the Abiezrites, gathered behind him. And he became a leader. God was with him. God was with him. Faith is challenging because it's kind of leaping and waiting for God to catch you, isn't it? Now, faith can be confirmed, which it was here for Gideon. Evidence to believe. He saw it. Faith can be tested. Gideon's faith was tested because whenever you're going to take a step for the Lord, you know that you will be tested for every step that you take. And even though we have the confidence that our Lord Jesus Christ is in us and he's with us and he's for us, it's still a challenge to take that step as our faith is tested. So Gideon tore down the altar. It was a huge challenge for him. But it became a contagious faith. It strengthened his father's faith. You see, when you make that step in your family, other people are going to take notice at what's happened to you. And they're going to take courage by your courage in taking a step of faith. And it's going to build their faith up too. So remember, when you take a step of faith, you can be bringing other people with you as a yoke fellow with them, if you will, by moving together. That's what God wants to do here at Bethel. He wants hundreds of us to be united together in Christ so that when we move like an army in Sault Ste. Marie. And people know that the Lord is with us. Gideon wanted one more test. He said, well, I'm going to do it, but I need to ask you another question. He said, take the fleece and get it wet, but keep the ground dry. And it happened. He wrung out a whole bowl full of water. It was a miracle. Then he said, but one more question. He said, can you now keep the fleece dry and just keep the ground wet around it? And God said, okay, we can do that too. And he did that. And so Gideon now was saying, okay, I'm ready. Almost ready. So where would you be at this point? Are you ready to go fight Midian, or do you still need some more, you know, check marks in your checklist? Well, Gideon wanted some more checklist. So God said, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get an army. 32,000 men are ready for battle. But the book of Deuteronomy says that whoever's fearful and afraid can leave, and 10,000 left. So this is not building up Gideon's confidence very much, is it? Then he said, the army's still too big. We're down from 32,000 to 22,000. He said, now we got to make it a little smaller. Too many personalities here. He said, I want you to go to the water and let them all drink. And the ones that drink water like a dog, they go home. And the ones that drink the water this way and keep their eyes open on the horizon, just like soldiers would do in battle, he said, that's your army. 300 were left. 1% of his army was left. 99% basically were disqualified. And it was so small that when victory came, they would know that God did this. Winston Churchill said in World War II, never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. And that's what was happening here. Gideon, though, needed some more assurance. So, after all, when you're left with 300 soldiers, you're thinking, could you make it a little clearer? And so God said, okay, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go down to the enemy camp and just listen to what's going to happen. So he and his servant went down to the enemy camp, and they were listening to two soldiers talking about a dream that they had. And they said, afterwards, you'll be strengthened, and you'll be able to go and fight the Midianites. So they went down, and they heard this dream being unfolded, and the dream was a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp, and the tent collapsed. How do you interpret that? Well, the soldier said, this dream must be the sword of Gideon. Gideon's listening to this saying, you got to be kidding. And into his hand, God has delivered Midian and the whole camp. Gideon said, now I'm ready to go. And so with God beside him in battle, leading the way, Gideon did the following. He divided the 300 men into companies of three, put a trumpet into their hand, with empty pitchers and torches inside the pitchers. And he said to them, look at me and do likewise. When I come to the edge of the camp, you shall do as I do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then you also blow the trumpets on every side of the whole camp and say, the sword of the Lord and Gideon. You break the jar, you let the torch shine in the darkness, and then watch what's going to happen. You will see the salvation of God. And that's exactly what happened. And every man stood in his place all around the camp, and the whole army ran and cried out and fled. And when the 300 blew the trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp, and they ran away. Well, at the end of the day, there weren't many of them left. There was so much confusion, they were killing one another. And of the 130-some thousand Midianites, there were only 15,000 left. Amazing what happens when God is working. Reminds me of the Six-Day War. I remember talking to a lady years ago in my office, and she had a Star of David on her chain, and I said, did you live in Israel? And she said, I did. I said, were you there in the Six-Day War? She said, I was. I said, what was it like? And she said, it was like a wave. Everything we did just kept working right. The war was over in 6 days. If you ever want a thriller to read the story of Eli Cohen, the master spy. It's called Our Man in Damascus. It's absolutely amazing. He went in as a Mossad secret agent and prepared the way for Israel to defend itself in the Six-Day War. He infiltrated the Syrian defense ministry, and he went up on the Golan, and he made one comment to the assistant defense minister. He said, it's so hot up here, all these bunkers don't have any shade, so why don't you plant some trees where all the bunkers are? So when he went back to Israel to update the nation of Israel on his spying efforts, he said, when it's time, just shoot for the trees. And that was the end of that conflict, basically. It destroyed all of the bunkers that were firing down from the Golan down into the nation of Israel. And they won that war in 6 short days. A story I heard about that as well was on a Fireside Friday chat by J.B. Nicholson, who's with Uplook Ministries. And he said, I was having lunch in Israel on a tour many years ago, and the tour guide said, oh, you see that man that just walked in here? I want him to tell you a story. So he was an Israeli tank commander during the Six-Day War. And he was reluctant to tell him the story, but he did. And he said, what happened was, I was in an Israeli tank. We were in the north. Our Air Force took care of Egypt, and they were getting ready to take care of the Golan. But I was in a tank battle, and there were 5 Syrian tanks that had surrounded us. And we were just about ready to put up the white flag. He said, but one of the men in our tank was a believer in God. Not everybody in an Israeli tank is a believer, but this man was a believer. He said, I want to pray right now. And he laid hold of this promise in Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. He said, okay, now we can go out and put the flag up. Well, they went and put the flag up and looked around. There were 5 tanks that were on fire. He said, we have no explanation except God did it. God can do the impossible today for you and me, just like he did that day. When I am weak, then I am strong. You see this picture? It's a NASA image. I think we're going to get a lot of pictures from the space camera up there, the new one. This one's a high-energy X-ray. It's a pulsar wind nebula. And why I put it up here is the hand of God is pointing towards that nebula. Just as Gideon was the hand of God, being led by the hand of God to defeat the enemy, today God's hand can lead you and me in areas that we could never imagine, in ways that we could not think of. He is the one that is able to do it. God is able. His hand is so big he made a universe, and his hand is so loving that he came down in human form and showed us what real love was in the person of Jesus Christ. And we have this treasure in us, with Christ in us. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. You know, God uses the cracks in our earthen vessel, in our lives, to let his light shine through our weakness so that he may be glorified, because that's what it's all about. If we don't glorify God as a group of people, God is not pleased. That is his purpose in bringing us together, that in all things he would have the preeminence and his power would be revealed in us. The aftermath of this, though, is interesting as we close up and summarize these ideas. In Judges chapter 8, the men of Israel said to Gideon, rule over us. You're a great general, both you and your son and your grandson. We see a dynasty here. This is going to be great, for you have delivered us from the hand of Midian. But Gideon said to them, I will not rule over you, nor shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. Thus Midian was subdued before the children of Israel, so that they lifted their heads no more, and the country was quiet for 40 years in the days of Gideon. God saw to it that the people would have peace for 40 years because of his man called Gideon working in. They made 2 mistakes, though. Number one, they attributed to Gideon rather than God the rescue that they received from the Midians. You have delivered us, they said. They missed the point. Didn't take them long to miss the point. God delivered them. They didn't give God the glory. And secondly, Gideon knew that the Lord saved, but to his credit, he said, I will not rule over you, the Lord will. And this is the second deception, is attributing to man the credit that belongs to God, number one. Number two is that we need great men and women for God. We don't. We have a great God who wants people to rise up, step up, and let him work through us. That's the key. Every one of us has that potential. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Gideon did not want to be a king. He learned the lessons the hard way, that Gideon had to keep seeking for confirmation to do what he did. And when we fail to listen to God, we bring our misery on ourselves. That's what happened to the nation of Israel. And they were, unfortunately, wanting to have more. And so Gideon made a mistake. He said, I'd like you to give me some gold from all the plunder, because after all, when you defeat an enemy, you get all the goodies, all the booty. And he collected from the earrings and other gold items and other things that they collected, 43 pounds of gold. It's worth a lot of coin. And he made a golden ephod. But what they forgot was this aspect of what the high priest's garments were to be like, that he had a mitre on his head that said, number one, holiness unto the Lord. A holy God wants a holy people. We have to be careful what we allow into our lives, just as the nation of Israel set up an idol after the victory. And they used to go to Gideon's hometown to see this great golden ephod. It wasn't like this with the 12 stones of the tribes of Israel. It was all gold. And they went and essentially became idolaters again. That's what happened. I want to close with this thought. What more shall I say? For the time would fail me, and the time has failed me. I'm going to tell you of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. And then I love this statement, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, and all these having obtained a good testimony through faith. Alistair Begg said that we have an absolute necessity in our lives to have weakness in our lives. It's the necessity of weakness for you and me. Because when, as Paul said, when I am weak, then I am strong. Gideon learned that. There's no way in the world that Gideon would have taken on an army of 130 plus thousand soldiers with 300 men. But God designed it so that one man could defeat a nation, which is what he did. And God can do that in our lives too. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We have something that is far greater. We have the Spirit of God, and we have the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. So when we take a step of faith, it's not a leap in the dark. It is an absolute step where we can say that we don't war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God. We have spiritual weapons, the Word of God, the power of prayer, the fellowship of the saints, the absolute intimacy of our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And he casts down strongholds and arguments and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. The world is in a suppressing the truth mode. God wants us to take that truth and shine it out into Sault Ste. Marie and into our families, our workplace, our neighborhoods for his glory. And he said, I want to bring every thought, and this is where it starts, every thought into the captivity to the obedience of Christ. If we're not obeying the Lord today, it's a good day to start. Let's get rid of the stuff that would paralyze us, that would hinder us, that prevents us from giving God all the glory in our lives. And as Darren and the team come up, let's close in prayer as we sing one last song. And we're thankful for a story like Gideon, who out of weakness was made strong. Father, thank you for this time together in your word. Bless us as we part, and may we be challenged to be men and women of faith, to be one of the 300 that would do battle for the Lord Jesus Christ here in Sault Ste. Marie, that here at Bethel we can stand, whether it's 330 or 300, that we would stand in the confidence that you are with us and your desire is to reach hearts and minds in every aspect of our city. People that are on their last ounce of energy, that have given up, people that are dependent on things that are not you and the things of this world, the toys of dust and the things that glitter. And we pray that you would help us to be used by you as ambassadors, as soldiers, as your people with hearts of love, reaching out to each one. We give thanks. And anyone here today, Lord, that needs that experience for themselves, we pray that they would trust the Lord Jesus Christ today with all their hearts. We give thanks in his worthy name. Amen. Darren?